This is the Friday, December 23rd, 2016 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. South American weather once again worked at cross purposes with healthy exports and left the grain markets lower just before the holiday. For the week, March wheat fell 16 cents and the nearby corn contract dropped 11 cents. News of a record crop in Brazil and more good weather in Argentina continued to hold the soybean complex at bay as the March contract finished 49 cents lower. March meal was carried along by the news and lost $9.80 per ton. In the softs, March cotton shook off $1.17 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, January Class 3 milk futures declined 31 cents. The livestock sector finished mixed as the February cattle contract put on 95 cents, March feeders added 40 cents, and the February lean hog contract shed $1.50. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index climbed 8 basis points. Crude oil gained 7 cents per barrel. Gold fell for the 8th week, losing $3.80 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index declined just over 2 points to finish the week at 391.30. Here now to lend us her insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Angie Setzer. Angie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get started, you can listen to our market discussion anytime by downloading our market analysis podcast on our website, iptv.org/M2M. Now, as we get started, Angie Setzer, let's talk about this wheat market. Mm-hmm. We broke down below $4 here in the Chicago. Does this set us up for continued downward movement?
A lot of times they'll tell you in a bearish market that you tend to see the next market in line trade down to where the first market at one point traded. In the December side of things, it really got ugly. I think at one point we were in the 360 range in Chicago. I don't know. I kind of blacked out there. It was nasty. So I think we're seeing a little bit of that right now. The market's still focused on the Australian crop. There's discussion there that the Australian crop, the USDA came out and put it at 33 million metric ton, which is phenomenal. I mean, it's huge for Australia. And now there's talk lying there that they could see another 2 million metric ton added. So 75 to 80 million bushel or so on an already giant crop. Talk is that Argentina also increased their acreage. So right now, the conversation continues to be centered around the fact that the dollar hit 15-year highs and that production in areas that don't traditionally, or in the areas that we need to stumble first, are not stumbling. So the path of least resistance at this point seems to be lower. There's a lot of stories going forward that we should see pickup in wheat, poor quality going into dormancy, that cold weather effect. There's talk that we could see another really cold snap here, another 2 to 3 weeks out in the southern plains, that wheat's uncovered at
you
this
bet.
Point.
No snow.
No snow, so that could be major. But at this point in time, the dollar and big crops getting bigger and foreign countries are really weighing heavy on the market.
Are we continuing to see the large speculators add to their short positions? Are they continuing to be active sellers?
Yeah, they're just, I mean, if it's a day that ends in Y, it's a day that funds seem to be selling wheat, unfortunately. Okay. We did get a bounce off from the really cold weather that we saw here last week, but with that not getting any legs underneath it, you know, it going into the holiday, the continued strength in the dollar again, you know, we just weren't able to pick up the ball and run with it from there.
All right. Into the corn market, down following wheat or following beans, perhaps, to the downside. Corn dropped 10 cents in the nearby. What do you do?
Well, with corn, you know, it's like last year all over again, except for maybe we're 10, 20 cents lower than where we were trading last year at this time, in that range anyway. It seems to be corn likes to run between about 343, 363. We tested the last rally that we had. We tested that 363 range on the March. We failed to close above 362, which is what I was hoping we would see happen, you know, not because I'm a huge tech trader. I'm more of your backyard tech trader where the numbers that mattered before continue to matter. The fact that we didn't trade above that and try to hit that 375 or so kind of told me that we would see it trade lower again. And we'll test the lower side, the 340, the lower 340 range, which we are right now. Of course, with wheat not being able to get legs underneath it, corn has a hard time rallying because with a lot of wheat out there, if corn tries to separate itself too far from wheat, people are going to discuss wheat feedings. I don't necessarily think that you're going to see a significant amount of wheat come out of storage to go into feed, just because now that it's put away, it's not really something that people are going to dig out all that off, you know, to feed. But it's still a story that you're going to hear.
Okay.
So I think corn's being weighed down. That, and it rained in Argentina. And right now, to me, everyone was focusing on Argentinian rains for soybeans, when the reality was Argentina is in the middle of getting into their more crucial weather pattern, or their more crucial period for production. So they got the rain that they needed, and here we sit.
All right. We've got a question here from one of our followers on Twitter. This is from Kenny in Neely, Nebraska at Reineke Farms. He's asking, is it worth the risk to wait and see how the acreage battle plays out to price in March to price new crop corn?
I think when you see new crop corn get up into the range that we saw last year, we started last year with, for a lot of guys, in that 385 to 390 range, depending if they had on-farm storage or not. That was a higher level of futures. We did see the market rally from there on a weather scare. I think we will, but most of the guys that I'm working with right now, we are looking to start locking in some futures in that 390 range, doing futures only at this point in time. We're not necessarily locking in cash, just because we have the intent of rolling it out later, hopefully adding some carry, because hopefully we'll see a weather rally and we'll be able to trade our harvest movement at a higher level. Okay. But to get started, I mean, none of my guys this year right now are sad that we contracted 390 futures
right.
A year ago. And I think we're setting ourselves up without a weather issue to really trade the same ranges that we've been trading the last couple
all
years.
Right. Soybeans down hard on the week. 50 cents broke through $10. Just global supplies, again, is the concern?
Well, yeah. I mean, right now, the Brazilian crop looks good. Argentina looks good. Now that they've gotten rain, there's maybe 10 to 15% of the Brazil area that has some dryness concern to it, but not really anything that you would want to write home about. Argentina seeing the rain again, not anything you want to write home about on concerns now. They'll be able to finish planting the crop. And from the sounds of it, it looks pretty good down there. Now, granted, we have to get the crop in the bin.
Right.
But it's still, even if we were to take 2 million metric ton off the Brazil crop and a couple million metric ton off the Argentina crop estimates that we're seeing right now, we're not looking at a loss similar to what we had a year ago.
Right.
And so I think going into this month, traders had last year in mind and were willing to put a risk premium in place much greater than what they were a year ago. Last year, there was it wasn't on anyone's radar that we would see a production loss.
Or 850 through the entire
exactly.
winter.
Exactly. And then we were going to sell for 7 at harvest, and then Brazil and Argentina surprised us, and we traded much higher from there for good reason. This year, though, I think that we put the risk premium in before we got there because traders, of course, have very short memories.
Right.
Remember a year ago it worked for them? Why not? And on top of that, I think you did see some folks just get to where they realized, okay, maybe we are a bit overpriced. We started to hear the acreage discussion kick into gear, the rain in South America, and here we sit.
So if I'm planning on planting more beans this year at my farm here in the Midwest, should I use these price levels even after this break to make some sales, or do I hold off and wait and see?
If you haven't started selling, I wouldn't be afraid to sell. If you were aggressive in the 10 to 1040 range on the November beans already, a lot of my customers were. I have some guys that are half sold at that point because they figure if the bean market goes to 13 or 14, their average is 11.50. You know, the worst things have happened.
That pencils.
And so I had some guys that were very aggressive. I have others that were not. At this point, you're still above $9 cash. If you are planning on increasing your acreage because of the penciling out of revenue based on where we're at, I cannot argue against getting something covered.
Right. If the upper nines are making dollars, then make those dollars.
Exactly.
Now let's talk about this livestock market. We continue to see live cattle put a little bit more on. Cash trade was reasonably hot for the week before a holiday.
Yeah.
Angie Setzer, are you fired up about the cattle market coming into this holiday season?
I'm always fired up about the cattle market because there's nothing better than a good steak. But I mean, when it comes down to it, we're seeing levels that we haven't seen since late summer. You know, if you look back even 4 weeks ago, well, probably 5 weeks ago now, prior to the election, you know, if you would have asked someone if cattle was going to rally to late summer highs, they'd have laughed at you and told you you were crazy. So I think that's important to keep in mind. Of course, with the stock market strength that we've seen, that always helps. If you make good money on the stock market, you're going to buy yourself and your family a nice big steak. So, I mean, that has something. The enthusiasm and the consumer side of things right now, as long as that stays in place, I think will help keep a floor underneath the cattle market. But it's important to keep in mind that, you know, if you were really lamenting how awful things were for you even 2 months ago or three, and we're back into ranges that you can be making money, you've got to be doing something with it, because overall we're still in a bearish commodity market setup. You know, it is going to take time for inflation to introduce itself, if it does. Mm-hmm. Right now we're really trading higher on the idea of inflationary fears, and we've seen decent export business. You know, we've seen other things that would help give the market a kick in the right direction, but overall, we're kind of front-running this idea that with the Trump presidency, things are going to, you know, we're going to be back in the roaring 20s.
Right. And so feeder cattle, just going to follow live cattle. As this corn breaks, we might see a little bit more on the feeder side.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a decent supply of feeder cattle out there. You know, we did see the breeding stock increase. We know that there were more calves available.
Yes.
But at the same time, with live cattle rallying, the feeder market's going to get hot again.
Yep.
It has. So it makes sense to be taking advantage of it, and you know, it'll definitely be following along, I think.
And, you know, we did get the cattle on feed report out earlier today. Total cattle on feed were down 1% versus last year. Placings and marketings up 15% and 17%.
Yeah.
That could have spooked the market come Monday?
I don't know. It didn't really seem to care too much. I don't think it's really paying too much attention to it. I think with the weather that we've seen, that would probably credit, you want to push those calves into the yard with poor weather conditions that we've seen. So I think the placements could be a little funky in that regard. Marketings, of course, with cash prices the way they were, I'd be selling too, especially ahead of the holiday.
Before we let you go, Angie said, sir, lean hogs continue to run a little bit. Is there more strength in this?
I would be nervous. I mean, our pork exports have been huge. Mexico demand has been huge. I mean, we've seen that happen. They have slowed down a bit here recently. But, you know, it was, again, just like in cattle, it was only just a couple months ago that you were going to, you know, you were going to be paying someone to take your hogs. So now that we've seen this reasonable rally, I think a lot of it has come again from consumer sentiment, excitement over inflation, things like that. I'd take advantage and be a seller.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Exactly.
Angie Setzer, thanks so much for
joining us.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market, but Angie and I will keep the market conversation going, including answering more of your questions during Market Plus, available on our website. Now, we've already started our year-end review with our M2M podcast, where the producers of this program discuss 2016. And next week on the broadcast, we'll do the same and take a look back at a year filled with earth, wind, and fire. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Happy holidays and have a great week.